Boys and girls, welcome back. Episode 3 is here
of the Chumps and
Champs, Chumps and Champs Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Danny Lutz, here as always with Matt Frederick. Matt, how are you?
Feeling good, Danny.
Scott Trosky, how are you?
I'm excellent, sir. How are you doing?
I'm great. And producer Tone, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Living the dream over here.
So I'm talking about football talk. We got a great show for you guys today. A preview and a breakdown of the NFC South. We're also going to talk some news, play some games, and give our predictions. But first and foremost, all of us here at Chumps to Champs Fantasy Football Podcast want to say thank you to everybody listening. The outpouring of support that you guys have given us in the past week since we launched has been tremendous and, quite frankly, overwhelming. And we just want to say thank you guys so much for listening and supporting us. We're going to do our best to give you the best content that we possibly can all year round. But thank you for sticking around. We all really, really, really appreciate it. And listen, when you're done here getting all your football info, head over to the Upper Decker podcast. We highly recommend it here to get all of your baseball information. It's a long summer with no sports. Not only do you need football, you need baseball. And our producer, Anthony Hot Tone, co-hosts that podcast with our great friends, Ty Miller and Brett Radke, and they do an outstanding job over there. It's just a lot of fun and a great listen. So head over there when you're done here. But now, back to football. Let's talk some news. Let's talk Dalvin Cook. Minnesota Vikings running back reportedly will hold out until he receives a, quote, reasonable deal from the Minnesota Vikings. Whoa. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think 13 mil is what he's asking, and that doesn't sound unreasonable for him, but given his injury history, he's, I don't know, put himself out there a little bit, and I think it kind of hurts his outlook in fantasy this year.
I think that spells big trouble in Minnesota. If he's not on the field, I don't think they stand a shot of doing much of anything as a team this year.
Not a shot with Mike Boone?
And oh, Alex, yeah.
The waiver wire savior?
Alexander Madison's there, too, and he's good, but Dalvin Cook is elite. But he's, yeah, I heard $13 million, Matt, and I also heard he's looking for $16 million plus per year because that's what Christian McCaffrey's making.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
What's your guys' gut thought on holdouts just in general? Do you have a blanket thought or is it like situational?
It's situational for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, NFL's a business from both sides, from the team and the player. I guess just part of it.
It's really easy in this position to be like, oh my God, $13 million isn't enough for you, you greedy piece of trash. But then you're like, well, everyone else is making more than you, so I guess that makes sense.
Well, he's considered one of the best in the game, and he's due to make about $1.3 million this year. He's on the last year of his four-year deal. $1.3 million versus $16 million is a big deal for a running back who's got his own injury problems.
Yeah, I think the injury problems might be why he's pushing for this money now. He's unsure if he'll make it through another season and then get that big payout after this contract year, so I can see it's justified, but hey, it's early in the off season. Hopefully he gets his money and they decide on something before it affects fantasy drafts.
When's the last time a running back signed a big contract for 4 or 5 years and then held up that full 4 or 5 years to go back and do another decent contract? They're not lasting that long. So, I mean, he's what, 25 now? You get, yeah, or 24. So like you gotta get paid now because who knows how long it's going to last.
What is it, about 27, 28 is the peak for running backs? You're not really going to see any improvement after there.
Yeah, and that's for someone who doesn't have injury problems like Dalvin Cook does. I really like Dalvin Cook, but what does this do if we were drafting right now in your league? How far down does Dalvin Cook go just for the sake of this whole situation?
Would Melvin Gordon drop to what, the third or fourth round last year? I feel it's probably the same exact situation.
Yeah, I always stay away from holdouts if it comes down to draft night. I know that they're a bargain, but I've also saved myself a lot of pain before with holdouts like Love Bell skipping over them. So I just steer clear. There's plenty of value on the board usually that you can find in other places, and I like to avoid the risk.
That's such a bummer, though, isn't it? Like, I was excited if I was going to be fourth or fifth or something. Getting Dalvin Cook sounded like such a great thing. It's a bummer. It was a bummer when this happened with Zeke, and it was a bummer when this happened with Le'Veon Bell, and it's always going to be with these.
You know who's sandwiched around Cook in the rankings right now? Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara. Both two totally different running backs, but two guys with tons of upside that I'd like on my team just as much as Cook. So
yeah.
If I'm sitting there and upset that Cook's not or is still holding out on draft night, I'm going to pick one of those other guys and not look back.
Well, something else that I heard this past week on a different podcast, I think it was CBS Sports, may have tossed this out there, this idea. This year is going to be kind of special when it comes to fantasy football because of the coronavirus. And we don't know. We can talk all we want about how it's going to affect the game, but we're not going to know until we get to testing actually right then and there. And this was the question that was posed. And how do you want to go about this in your fantasy league? What happens when your big quarterback tests positive for COVID as he walks through the door that Sunday night, we'll say, completely healthy that we thought was not on the injury report, and all of a sudden, no, Tom Brady, you can't play because you have a positive COVID test, and you're the owner sitting there with Tom Brady. What do you do as a league? Because this could happen to anyone, and it seems kind of like a coin flip on whether or not it's going to happen, because we have no idea until it actually does. What do you do? Do you add a roster spot and ask people to, like, roster a second quarterback just in case? Do you allow the backup to automatically go to that person's team because this really had nothing to do with actual injury or risk? It just kind of happens. What do you do if that were to happen? And if you're the commissioner of your league, how would you go about running this type of situation?
Personally, I think it's just too bad, so sad. There's always last-minute inactives, whether it's from injury, sometimes it's illness, and you got to deal with it. Everybody's going to have that guy in their league who's always complaining that his team has the most injuries and the most bad luck out of anybody's team, and it's probably going to happen.
Now, who are you talking about? Who are you talking about?
I'm not talking about anyone in particular. Just every league has that guy, and you're going to hear about it, but I think that's how you got to play it, because there's going to end up being too many exceptions to the rule. There's going to be too many people crying to their commish about, like, oh, well, this guy had a COVID test 2 days before my game time, and I didn't know it, but it was COVID positive, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's always going to be last-minute inactives, and people are going to get screwed. I do know that it sucks whenever a week becomes non-competitive due to an owner not being able to get a starter in the lineup. That's never fun for anybody. You like to have those close matchups. That's what makes fantasy fun. But I don't see a good way to mitigate this other than just saying too bad, so sad.
It just depends on how often I think it comes up. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen when all these players start getting together. Is this going to be, unfortunately, a somewhat regular thing that you have to deal with? I mean, if that's the case, I'm not opposed to saying you get a shot at the backup. I mean, that's not like that's going to be a grand person that's going to get you a bunch of points that you're throwing in. Unless it's, you know, the 10th guy in your league that nobody really likes, then you just say tough noogies.
Now, I think who are you talking about?
Nobody in particular, right?
I think you got to figure something out, because it's not like in a normal situation with normal injuries, you know, these guys are questionable or doubtful or whatever. So if you start them, like, you know the risk there, right? So, like, if they end up not playing, that's on you. In this case, a guy walks in 3 hours before the game, 2 hours before the game, test positive. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know that I necessarily have an answer. I'm kind of taking a cop out here, but I feel like something has to be in effect to where there's a backup plan, even if it is just points for the backup quarterback or whatever.
Well, Danny, you made it sound like you're most concerned about the quarterback position. That makes sense. They're your biggest point scorer. You only got one of them in your lineup. So the one thing that makes sense to me is, instead of drafting quarterbacks, you draft team quarterbacks. You want Tom Brady on your team, you're drafting Tampa Bay's quarterback. And then if there are last minute sits due to COVID or anything like that, you get the starter behind him. I don't love that, but that seems like the best way to fix that.
Yeah, I don't love that either, but in this one particular situation, that sounds That sounds fair, but I don't know if you can legislate it that way. I don't.
It's one of those things I think you as a league have to decide, obviously, before the season and come all to, you know, some kind of terms with it and figure it
at
out.
At least let, because there's some leagues who don't allow ad drops once it hits Thursday, Friday, sometimes Saturday. Like, you're not allowed to do ad drops at a certain point. I think this year, if you're a league who was not allowing ad drops up until kickoff, that you at least should allow that on these days. So
what do you do for the, 5 hours that you're up before kickoff on Sunday if you don't get to add and drop players?
I know. Some leagues don't do it. I think that's a bare minimum, though. Like, allow that to happen so they have at least a chance of making that decision to pick up the guy who's going to replace them, because most backup quarterbacks are not rostered unless you're trying to play defense and snipe them on your roster, Matt.
Hey, it was just an idea.
Who doesn't have stinker tinker time Sunday mornings? I mean, if you don't allow that in your league, what's the point?
That's half the fun. But anyway, it's just a thought to toss out there. But hey, let's get to the bulk of this episode. Let's talk about the NFC South. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah.
Do it. I'm excited.
The New Orleans Saints is where we're going to start. Last year, they were 13-3. They finished first in the NFC South. They were the number 3 seed in the playoffs, and they lost to Minnesota in overtime. Somehow, it was another like questionable pass interference, if I remember right. Wasn't that the Kyle Rudolph push-off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't even review it.
Right. I think that they're just upset because of the Rams still, but key additions to the Saints: wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders is now there, and quarterback Jameis Winston is there as the second backup, the third backup. I don't know. We'll talk about that. And nobody really left the team of note in the offseason, but we will start with the quarterback, Mr. New Orleans, Drew Brees. Drew Brees, average draft position, he's going around quarterback 8. Last year, he only played in 11 games, but he was a beast again. I mean, his 16-game pace was 39 touchdowns and 4,300 yards. So what do you think of Drew Brees going into this, even though he's going to be like 41 years old?
You just said it, Danny. His stats, if you extrapolate them out for the whole year, don't show him slowing down at all. They're an offense that wants to win now. They have weapons. They're offensive-minded. I like him again. He goes way too early in drafts usually for me to snag him, but I think he's going to be a fantasy producer this year.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like age matters much to him. They throw the ball constantly. And I mean, if you, like you said, extrapolate it, as long as I looked it up right, he was averaging just under 21 points a game in those 11 games. And if you're telling me I can get a 20 plus point per week quarterback, yeah, I'm going to take that any day. That's pretty solid.
Yeah. And the only thing that bugs me about Drew Brees was watching that playoff Vikings game. He looked really rough. He started to show his age a little bit there, and that concerns me. But, I mean, same exact receivers plus Emmanuel Sanders. Like, the weapons around him are the exact same. So, until he legit can't do it, I'm interested at the beginning of the season, and I will draft Drew Brees at the quarterback 8. That sounds great. You should check out my article that I got out there on the website about my bold predictions, because you're going to see him number 1 right there for a reason. But I'm interested. I'm interested in Drew Brees again until he can prove that he can't do it. But running back, let's talk about Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara is going about the 4th running back off the board, early first round, mid first round, right then and there. If you want him, you got to take him first. But
I typically have him ranked slightly ahead of everybody else. I think I got him at 3 right now. I just think he's incredibly talented. He catches a ton of passes. So especially if you're in PPR, he's a huge asset. I'm typically in half PPR in all my leagues, and it's still beneficial. He gets yards on the ground. He gets yards in the air. The only thing that kind of sucks about that is that you're not usually hitting your bonuses if you're a big bonus league, because the yards are split between air yards and rush yards. But still a stud, and I like to have him on my fantasy team.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's obviously a very talented young guy. What does scare me a little bit is I know he was out for a couple games last year where Latavius Murray got in there, and he did well. And even when Kamara was playing and healthy, Latavius Murray was in there a lot. And it's one of those where they might be going to a kind of a dual thing where Latavius Murray gets in there quite a bit, and that kind of steals some of Kamara's value when it comes to fantasy.
I think what that shows to me, especially those couple games that Latavius Murray got the start and was super productive, is that he is the number one handcuff on the board. If you like to have handcuff running backs, take Latavius Murray because he has the most upside out of any of those guys.
And speaking of Latavius Murray, we can get back to Kamara in a second, but Scott, you pointed out the couple of games where Kamara was gone and they turned to Murray. Those two games, there's twice where Kamara was just inactive. Latavius Murray, 21 rushes for 102 yards and touchdown in the first game. Second game, he rushed 27 times for 119 yards and two scores. And then Kamara came back. So he's proven that he can do it. He did that in Minnesota as well. Yeah, I think Latavius Murray, I don't know about standalone value, but I will be taking him later in the draft exactly for that reason, just in case Kamara's out.
Yep, he's like kind of like the that year two, or Tariq Cohen wasn't even their starter, but he was in on the field like half the plays for those passing plays and everything else. So yeah, I think Latavius Murray definitely has value, and man, if he gets on a team where he's the lead guy, I think he could be doing some great stuff in fantasy.
And Kamara is still worth an early round pick because he was battling ankle and knee problems that whole time, even when he was active, which could account for the fact that he didn't have the best season compared to years past, especially in the touchdown area. But I'm not concerned about touchdowns for any Saints player this year, and that goes for the starter that's obviously on their team. But
yeah, I absolutely loved Kamara last year in fantasy and somehow ended up with him on none of my teams, and it kind of worked out for me. But I just think he has that year this year that I was expecting last year. I like him.
Let's talk about wide receivers now on the Saints.
They got a good one, right?
Oh, my word. Oh, my word. Michael Thomas, what did you do to football last year? So it goes as no surprise that he's going first wide receiver off the board, early first round this year. But last year, he set the record for most receptions, 149 catches. 1,700 yards, 9 touchdowns on 185 targets. Oh, my goodness.
It's insane.
He outscored the number 2 receiver in the NFL by 99 fantasy points in PPR leagues last year, just to show what he can do.
Yeah, that's what I was just – I had half PPR when I was looking up, and, yeah, he had 300 and second was 233. That's how big of a gap there was from 1 to 2.
Not just number one wide receiver, but I have him as my number one overall. Those numbers are incredible that you just said. And if you look at his stats year to year since 16, they've increased like straight line progression every year. And there's no reason to think it won't keep increasing. Like you mentioned for Drew Brees, they have a pretty similar support cast available this year. I think he's just going to be a stud. He's super talented. He's got the size. Love him this year.
Yeah, Matt, you're totally correct. He's just getting better and better and better. I don't know if he can get any better, to be honest with you. But, you know, his yards per game last year, 107.8 yards per game, is absolutely insane. Those are decent numbers if he's not scoring touchdowns for you. You know what I mean? He's still putting up solid points just from the yardage.
I was really disappointed in seeing that he only scored 9 touchdowns. After seeing the other stuff, the targets and receptions and yards, you were hoping for like, oh, and 14 touchdowns. But, I mean, he didn't need them. I mean, they were fine. But
I still don't think you can even be upset in like a no PPR league. Like, you're still getting tons of production. But I'm not worried about the touchdowns if you're even in half or above. He's a stud.
Yeah, they also added Emmanuel Sanders, who is kind of the afterthought of the Saints wide receivers because Michael Thomas ruined everything. But you can get him at the end of your draft. He's the number 2 wide receiver, at least on a really high-powered offense. And he's finished as a wide receiver in the top 30 in fantasy football as a wide receiver the past 2 seasons since he snapped his Achilles 3 years ago. So what do you think about Emmanuel Sanders, though?
Yeah, you can get him at the end of the draft and end of his career. He's 33 years old. He has an Achilles injury. He's in his twilight years. Saints. Obviously, they have Michael Thomas. He's going to get the bulk of the load. They have Traquan Smith that they like, the young guy there. I don't see Emmanuel Sanders just really lighting it up there. I've never really rostered him on a lot of my teams because I don't think he's consistent anymore week to week. I haven't looked at the stats to prove that, but I don't feel comfortable with him, and I'm not going to take him in drafts.
I wouldn't mind taking him at the very end. I mean, just having that as a bench player receiver, because he had a couple big games last year for San Fran. I mean, I had him on one of my teams. I'm not sure I played him on the right week, but right. There were a couple games, and with the Saints offense, as much as they throw, I mean, as much as they're going to try to cover Thomas, I mean, you got to expect there'd be a couple games if you're streaming them, if nothing else, that you might gamble and it might pay off for you.
Yeah, the double coverage on Thomas could definitely help. I mean, I'm still not taking him until way late in the draft, but if Thomas is double covered, he could get some, you know, big opportunities early on.
Was that the trade where it worked out to where Emmanuel Sanders could play 17 weeks last year?
I don't remember. Is that true? Is that how he got to wide receiver 30 exactly? Was because he played a bonus game?
I'm not sure. I'll have to look
up. Yeah, he has 17 games played last year on my chart.
Yeah.
What a cheater. 9.3 points per game.
This was how the bye weeks and the Monday or Thursday night games lined up. He was able to play 17 games.
Matt's calling for the end of his career. I heard end of the career for Emmanuel Sanders. Goodness. But hey, tight end, Jared Cook. He's going about tight end 10. Last year, he was tight end 7 on the year in 14 games played. He scored 9 touchdowns, which I guess makes sense for the Saints, but only caught 43 passes. What do you do with Jared Cook?
I feel like he's finally on a team that works to his strengths, though. It seemed like he always underproduced, and you're always like, oh, Jared Cook's a big guy. He's going to do so well, and then he just flatlined for you most weeks, where, like we talked about how much this offense passes. I mean, I like him. He's got that touchdown potential every drive. You just never know.
I think he's going to be exactly what you draft him at. He's not going to show you like a crazy breakout year. He's not going to show huge flashes, but he's going to get like 5 targets and 4 receptions every week. And yeah, he's going to find the end zone in this offense. But you're getting what you draft with Jared Cook.
If you miss out on the, you know, elite level of tight ends, those tier one tight ends, and you're able to snag Jared Cook a little bit later, I think it's good. His stats under Breeze were much better than his stats in previous years. So
we should talk for a second about Taysom Hill, though. And I say that because I guess right now he's listed as a tight end, even though what is Taysom Hill? Taysom Hill, it's all about his eligibility. I know that for fantasy football, but let's just talk about last year. Taysom Hill caught 6 touchdowns. He threw 13 passes, and he ran the ball 64 times and has tight end next to his name.
He has the coolest job in the NFL. He really does. He has the absolute coolest job in the NFL.
He signed a huge contract with the Saints, too. And they don't even know. I mean, I guess he does everything, or does he do nothing? I don't know.
2-year, 21 mil for basically a utility player, right, on offense?
Yes. But
I think the biggest thing is if you can start him at tight end and you don't have any other viable options, you can have some sneaky weeks in there. But, man, good luck. Good luck starting him.
Yeah, you've got no if he is listed as a quarterback, he's got no value whatsoever. But, right. I mean, if you add up all of those points from all the things that he did, he would have been a tight end 21 last year. That doesn't even sound that good. It should be thrown out there because of what he did in the playoffs last year. He just showed out and then got a contract. But yeah, I'm not. Yeah, don't touch him. Just don't touch him for fantasy purposes. But let's move on. Let's move on past the Saints and talk about the Atlanta Falcons. They finished tied for second in the NFC South last year with a record of 7-9. They added Todd Gurley. And they added Hayden Hurst, the tight ends, but they also lost Austin Hooper to Cleveland. And I guess it should be noted that they lost Mohamed Sanu, even though that was midway through last season. But that could come up when we talk about stats and what we're projecting moving forward, I guess, now that he's gone. But quarterback Matt Ryan. He's got two first names. He's the 9th quarterback going off the board. He's had a really up and down career. I mean, he was the MVP. I think he was the MVP the year they went to the Super Bowl. Wasn't he the MVP? But either way, last year, 26 touchdowns, over 4,000 yards again. What do you do with Matt Ryan?
That's the first thing I was going to say is every year he's over 4,000 yards, he is going to sling the ball, and he's not going to be one of those first quarterbacks off the board. So you know you're getting a quarterback who's going to be throwing the ball. He's going to get over 20 TDs. It's a guarantee. I like him. Goes a little early for me still. I like my quarterbacks late, but I like Matt Ryan and a supporting cast this year.
I think you got to hope that Atlanta's as bad as they were last year with being down, so they can just start winging it late in games. I mean, they had nothing to lose. I mean, they were 3-9 at one point in the season. So what is it going to hurt, you know, in games if you're just chucking it up there and you throw a pick? Oh, darn. So, yeah, he's going to throw the ball, and it seems like he's always going to get the yards. I mean, he's
You're going to have to deal with the picks. You're just going to have to. It's just like if you drafted Winston last year. You're going to have to deal with the picks and also the 5,000 yards and 20-something touchdowns. But, I mean, he threw 14 picks last year. Yeah, it's a high floor, like Matt was saying. It's a high floor, but I don't know about the upside at this point in his career. But I don't know why. Every single fantasy draft around that ninth round when Matt Ryan is not off the board yet, I don't know why I can't help myself from picking him. Matt, that's a quarterback there in Atlanta. Running back is now Todd Gurley, former Ram. He's going running back 16. He's had quite a career, though. I mean, a lot of glory and a lot of injury. So out of this whole Falcons lineup, he seems to be the one that I struggle to figure out what I want to do.
I think they last year they didn't overuse him, and I know he's got his injury issues, but I mean, I had him on one of my teams, and I wish he'd have got some more carries here and there. But I mean, he played in 15 games last year. I mean, he held up when he wasn't being used as that workhorse back.
He was in the stadium for 15 games. He yeah. had pads on for 15 games. I mean, his touchdowns have been, yeah, like Scott, like you were saying. Last year, 12 touchdowns on the ground, two more through the air. The year before that was the 21 total touchdowns, and the year before that was 19 total touchdowns. So he could score. It's all about the arthritis in your knee as a professional athlete that I just don't know if I can get on board with.
Yeah, and the thing I like most about Gurley is still that the Rams are paying most of his salary.
Love it.
The thing that gets me a little excited about Gurley is the fact that they don't have anyone behind him. At least nobody's notable.
And like last year during drafts, I said, because he was going, do you remember last year? He went like towards the end of the first round last year. And people were like, I think in one of our drafts, Scott, he fell to you at like seventh overall. And you're like, how the hell did this even happen? I love it. I'll take it. I'll slam yes on this. But I had the same issues then that I have now, but I was much more vocal about it because he was a Ram last year, and it was total bias. I was like, no, I'm not taking Todd Gurley. He can't run. And now that he's a Falcon, I'm like, well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think what they're going to do is, since they don't have a good running back core behind him, is try to get him those 20-plus touches a game. Well, the Rams were using him like 30 before his knees went out, and we'll see what his longevity is, but I don't see it happening. I think the Falcons are just going to get themselves in a hole by using him up, and he's going to miss a few weeks at least, maybe not the whole season, and then they're not going to know where to turn.
Like I said earlier, Matt, I think their game flow might save his knees. Like I said, if they're not winning, he's not going to be on the field as much because they're going to have to throw the ball.
That's true, but I don't know. If he's on the field, he's you know, an excellent option, but I think his workload is going to be way too high, and I don't think we'll see him on the field for 16 games next year.
Wide receiver, Julio Jones. Julio Jones, I mean, he's been in the league forever, it seems, but he's still just producing. He's the fifth wide receiver off the board this year, the end of the first round, early second, depending on your league size, but 31 years old, and last year, he was still a beast. Wide receiver 3, 99 catches for 1,300 yards and 6 scores. He's averaging about 10 targets per game. A ton of yards. He's massive.
Yeah, I always like Julio Jones more in fantasy than everybody else. He's usually my number one wide receiver, but this year he's knocked down to about three for me.
Michael Thomas, whatever.
He's another guy he's going to get you over 1,000 yards. The one thing that's always annoying, because I always have him on a few of my teams, is he's always questionable all week until game time. He barely practices, so you always get the alerts that, oh is Julio Jones going to play this week? Yeah, he's going to play. He's Julio Jones. The other annoying thing is it seems like he always goes through a little stretch where he can't find the end zone. But then at the end of the year, he has the TDs. But you're going to have a few weeks where, like, Julio, get in the end zone. What are you doing?
Now, I had him on my team, I think, last year, and looking at his numbers when I was looking, I couldn't believe they were as high as they were because I was so frustrated with him. Like you just said, man, I was going to bring that up. He didn't have a touchdown between weeks 4 and 14.
Yep.
Of his 6, 4 of them were in the first 3 weeks, and then he had 2 in week 15. Nothing else.
It's when it counts, though, man. Week 15 is when it counts.
But he had 3 huge games, and then other weeks, I mean, I'd say, I forget what it was, but there was like 7 or 8 weeks he didn't even meet his expectations in terms of fantasy points. So it's, I don't know, I feel like he's actually taking a little bit of a step back. And what, Ridley had 7 touchdowns last year. And honestly, I think the gap's closing between Julio and Ridley, and I like Ridley this year.
Let's talk
Take. Let's talk about Ridley then. Let's talk about Ridley. He was a wide receiver 27 last year, but that doesn't really tell the whole story. He had 93 targets, but he missed the last 3 weeks of the season with an abdominal injury. So he would have hit 1,000 yards if he had played the whole thing. He had 866, missing the last 3. But he's going 18th wide receiver off the board around the 4th round, 5th round. What do you think about Calvin Ridley? Scott, start with you, guy. He's better than Julio Jones. Now,
I wouldn't go that far, but he's younger, and it seemed like he had a little more consistency. I'm not saying that if Julio is there, I'm not going to pick Julio Jones. That would be
nonsense. Well, do you remember when Julio Jones came into the league? It was all Roddy White, Roddy White, Roddy White. And then they're like, who's this guy from Alabama? And then in the first year, it was all Julio Jones. And I don't remember hearing Roddy White's name from that point on. And I remember that because I drafted Roddy White. And then you, Scott, drafted Julio Jones. And I did not do well at all that year.
Yeah, I remember that. I won that year because Julio caught the touchdown to beat Dan in the championship. Hey, Dan.
That's how it is.
But no, yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't know. It's Julio's still talented. It just seems like I said, really just I feel like the gap's closing, and it's going to be closer to a coin toss each week of who's going to get more points.
Yeah, I just have trouble getting excited about Calvin Ridley. It seems like he's had opportunities in the past, and maybe he is talented, but Matt Ryan still likes Julio Jones the most. And the other thing, they added Laquon Treadwell, who is a slightly bigger receiver than Calvin Ridley, another guy who hasn't done it, but he's been hyped in the past. So who knows if he competes for those wide receiver 2 opportunities. I'm just not super excited about Calvin Ridley.
He's still young. I think he's getting better each year. And I think, again, it goes back to what we were talking about with the Saints, with Michael Thomas and the double coverage. If they're doubling up Julio, it's going to give Calvin some more opportunities, and he might get some big bombs to catch and get you some points.
Tight end is no longer Austin Hooper. He gone. And now you got hit. He had to throw in the Cleveland Brown over there. But Hayden Hurst, he's ADP is like 13th tight end off the board. But he's got a lot of hype because I guess the offense and what Hooper's done in the past. He's unproven. He came from Baltimore and never really had a standout role over there. But a lot of people are liking a breakout season for Hayden Hurst. Are you guys seeing that?
I never get excited about tight ends till they've shown me they can do a little something. There seem to be enough guys out there to where I'd rather take someone who's a little older and proven. Because, I mean, tight end's such a crapshoot anyways from week to week, where even the best ones will give you up 3.5 points. And I just, yeah, until he shows me something, I'm probably staying away.
He has upside. I mean, he's in that, what, like third tier of tight ends where everybody has like something you can kind of be excited about. Jonnu Smith, Hockenson, I don't know, Gronk's around at the same time as Hurst, and
Noah, there's other Fant guys.
Yeah. There's other guys that have just as much upside, so kind of throw your dart there, whoever you like more. I don't dislike the chance that Hurst has this year in an offense that's used their tight end heavily in the past, so go for it if you like him.
I like him for where he's going in the draft, you know.
So what do you guys say we take a break here, stretch our legs and get a beer? What do you say?
Sounds good to me, Danny.
We'll be right back, chumps. Welcome back, chumps. We're talking about the NFC South here. We just got done with the Saints and the Falcons, and we're going to move right on into the Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Finished a little bit of excitement over here.
I like them. I like them.
Patriots South. Tied for second in the NFC South last year with a 7-9 record, but they just feel like a completely different team this year than years past. Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski are there, and no longer is Jameis Winston there. And I wrote down here, no longer is Peyton Barber with the team, as if that was going to come up.
Well, let me just scratch out all my notes.
No, wait a second. Who's going to take all of Barber's carries? Quarterback Tom Brady, he's going about the 10th quarterback overall, but that's on average. He is being drafted everywhere. And we're going to have another player on the team who's the same thing, but he's going in the 6th round, and he's going in the 12th round and anywhere in the between. So, like, we can talk about last year, but it's just totally different for Tom Brady. So what do you do with the 43-year-old?
I don't know where I like drafting him, but I like him. I mean, it's not one of those where I'm going to reach, but it seems like he's got more weapons than he has had in how many years past. So I do expect good things, and I expect him to be probably a top 10 quarterback points wise at the end of the year. But yeah, it just, you never know where people are drafting who with quarterbacks these days.
Yeah, it definitely seems like Brady has more stud receivers than New England ever gave him. What did he always have? Young rookies and then like twilight year veterans.
Yeah, post Randy Moss, that's how it was pretty much.
Exactly. So it's easy to get excited about Brady this year. There's just a lot of unknowns there. And I know that you got to capture those in your draft position. I think he's going a little high for me. I kind of like the other guys in his tier, like Breeze and Matt Ryan. And I even like Rodgers and Stafford. So I'd probably go that way. But I understand the hype for Brady.
I think the Patriots just have such a good system. And he obviously excelled there.
He said it. He's a system quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know about the Bucs system, and I just don't know what he's going to do. I will, I'll take Matt's dual QB approach here. And if I can, yeah, go read the article, boys.
There it is. What a plug.
No, but it really, if I can pair him with someone and, you know, pair him with another mid tier quarterback and, you know, play the matchups every week or whatever, I'll do it, but I'm not going to reach for Tom Brady.
Is Brady a system quarterback, or is he going to buck that label?
Oh, man.
Man, but that was written in bold letters on your note sheet.
Give actually, it wasn't.
I'm just that creative, Matt. I'm just that creative.
On the fly. Oh, my word. But so do you remember what happened to Peyton Manning towards the end of his career? I mean, he tossed 55 bones that one year, and then it got a little worse, and then it got a little worse, and then it was just over. Like, when is that going to be? Because if you look at my article about the bold predictions, scroll down to the bottom, you'll find my Tampa Bay Buccaneers part. But the Titans just made him look like a joke in January. So,
and didn't that feel good?
Oh, it did. But did that signal the end the way that last season that Peyton Manning had, or is this just a breath of fresh air? Now Tom's not 43 anymore. He's 36 or something like that. And heading into Tampa Bay, there's Super Bowl aspirations. I just can't do it. He's 43 years old. Maybe if I go with the dual system approach, I'll do it. But,
you know, bleh. Tom has always made his living on finding time in the pocket. He doesn't need to rush. He's got tons of football intelligence. He's going to have good games. I don't think it's arm shot by any means. I think he still has some pretty good showings this year. I don't think it's going to be prime Tom Brady, and I don't think you should draft that at all.
His stats have gone down pretty consistently across the board over the last three seasons.
Because he sucks. And
I don't know, man. I don't think they're going to go up that much. It might be a little bit of a change of scenery, breath of fresh air, more receiving options. Could keep him, you know, being competitive. But I don't think he's going to be an elite quarterback this season.
Now, let's talk about this really, in my opinion, really complicated backfield. Ronald Jones and the rookie Keyshawn Vaughn. Because Peyton Barber's gone, so someone's going to have to carry the load. Ronald Jones is going ADP around 39, the 39th running back off the board. And Keyshawn Vaughn's actually going 35th, so a little bit before him. I don't know. There is a time to draft these running backs in a Tom Brady system. But which one do you like better? Because they're going about the same place.
I think Keyshawn Vaughn obviously has the higher upside. They drafted him because he's really good in pass protection, and you want that with Tom Brady. So if he sees the field just due to that, he's going to get opportunities. And we all know Ronald Jones has squandered opportunities in the past. So if Keyshawn Vaughn can show something, he could become a very consistent, most down back. The upside's there. I don't think there's much upside with Ronald Jones, and I think that's why he's going later. I'm probably not touching either, though.
I agree with Matt. I like Vaughn, definitely, but it's more of a, I've already got two running backs, and he could be a huge hit on a flex spot on my lineup. But again, too late in the season, that you just don't know what they're going to do.
Did you know that Ronald Jones is younger than Keyshawn Vaughn? Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
But yeah, Ronald Jones can't pass block, and I think that's the most important thing for the Bucs is keeping Tom Brady upright. And who's to say that the Buccaneers are not going to sign somebody else? Because they've talked about that as well, if the cap space is right, of putting someone else in there as well. I don't know. If I'm going to touch one of them, I guess it'll be Keyshawn Vaughn, just because Ronald Jones is boring to me. But we spoke about the wide receiver core here in Tampa Bay when we talked about Tom Brady. I said how much I'm like blah on Tom Brady, and now here I am about to speak so highly of the wide receivers as if they're not connected. But Chris Godwin is the wide receiver 6 off the board on average right now. He's going in the second round. Last year he broke out. Oh boy, howdy did he ever. 120 targets, 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns. Do you see more of the same for Chris Godwin?
Yeah, I mean, he did it with Mike Evans there. So, I mean, it's one of those to where I can't believe saying Mike Evans could be the number 2 receiver on a team. That's pretty incredible. But, I mean, this year, honestly, it might hurt him, though, fantasy, if they're splitting targets so much. Who's Brady's favorite going to be? It's one of those you have to hope it's the guy you draft, because you just never know.
Yeah, I think they're going in the right spot. Godwin a little bit ahead of Evans, but the one thing Evans has going for him is he's a little bit bigger bodied, taller receiver, better red zone threat. So I do like that, but Godwin did have a huge breakout, and I saw his talent last year. I'd probably draft him first.
We know those big body plays, though. He's going to Gronk every time, right?
That is true. That muddles the water a bit, doesn't it?
Scott, you said it, though, man. It's who does Tom Brady like? Because let's be honest, Tom Brady, I mean, he's running the show. He's a coach on the field. And I don't know. My gut between the two receivers is Mike Evans. I mean, he's had over 1,000 yards in each of his seasons so far, 6 seasons, I believe. But, I mean, it's a crapshoot right now. Everything could change. The whole system is changing with Tom Brady in there. So. I'm kind of steering clear. I'm not saying I wouldn't draft these guys. I'm going to draft them, obviously, if it falls to me, but I'm not reaching for either one.
And it's easy to make the comparison of Chris Godwin, slot receiver, Julian Edelman, and Wes Welker, slot receivers for Tom Brady in New England, and they had incredible seasons and careers there. So it's easy to just say, well, there you go. He likes the slot receiver. That's Chris Godwin. Blah, 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 it's going to be Chris Godwin. It's easy to say that, but I'm going to say that. Like, he is 43 years old. The quick slants, the slot receiver. And when you have Chris Godwin, who at this point in his career is better than Julian Edelman,
I think it's safe to say that Godwin is going to have a great, great season. But Mike Evans, like Matt said, perimeter guy, great in the red zone, and this team is supposed to be incredible. So I'll take either one of them, really.
So here's a question for you, Danny. Sandwich between those two guys and the current rankings is Kenny Galladay. Would you take Galladay over Godwin or Evans now just because he doesn't have as much top-tier competition?
Yes. Yeah, I would take – I think I'm trying to remember. I don't have my rankings pulled up, but I'm pretty sure I've got Galladay like wide receiver 6 on my list.
That makes
sense, yeah. I'm big on Kenny Galladay for other reasons I will get into with the NFC, what is that, North, but – I would take Galladay before them, but I got Godwin and Evans right behind that. I have to have him right there, especially Godwin. I'm bigger on him than I am Evans, I think.
I'd agree with that, and definitely everybody knows I'm a Titans fan, but Lions are kind of my NFC team, so I always pull for their players, and Galladay seems exciting this year.
So you really liked my predictions then? Because if you read them, did you read them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Lions making the playoffs.
Oh, girl!
What's going to happen?
Now, those are bold predictions, as in prob's not going to happen, but God, am I going to feel good when I just take that from you, man.
You know, if you hit like one of the 10 of those, you're just going to feel good that you called it, right?
I'm going to talk about it for the next year if I hit one of them. That's why you do a bold statements article, because you can talk about it forever.
I don't want to get too much into the NFC North today, but when we get there, I'll have a lot to say about the Lions because they definitely seem promising. And I mean, they did last year to me, so hopefully it's warranted.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Rob Gronkowski. I mentioned how Tom Brady is getting drafted everywhere. Rob Gronkowski is getting drafted everywhere, as in he's going in the 4th round and he's going in the 13th round. The range is even wider than Tom Brady. I guess if you want to break down ADP 11, but it's seriously everywhere. So what round do you say yes for Rob Gronkowski?
So I guess the biggest concern people have there is that Howard's still there and so is Brate. There's tight ends on the team that have all gotten starting time in the NFL. Gronk's a year out of football, blah, 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 blah. But if Brady's there starting at quarterback and Gronk is available, you got to think he's going to be on the field and he's going to be perhaps his number one target, definitely his number one tight end target. So I like him, but there is risk tied to it.
I feel like his sweet spot for me would be around 9 or 10, to where I've got my other positions pretty shored up and the top tight ends are already gone. Obviously, Kelce and Ertz and all of them are going to be long gone by then. And at that point, I wouldn't consider it a flyer. It's Gronk. I mean, I know he's got his injury risks and everything else, but I mean, if the man's healthy, he's with Brady. I can't imagine if he's out there, he's not going to finish in a starting tight end role, you know, on your fantasy team.
I'd probably reach for him a little bit more than that. I used to always steer clear of Gronk because I couldn't draft him in the first or second round where he always went. But if you're telling me that I could get his upside in the 7th or 8th, I might reach for him.
I don't know if I'm taking him in the 7th or 8th, man. I mean, it's tough. You know, obviously Brady's going to be looking at him, but guy hasn't played a full season since 2011.
Which means he's fresh, Tone.
He is living.
There are tight ends going before him, like Higbee and Cook, that are just huge question marks, and they could get you like 4 catches a week. Wouldn't you rather have Gronk's upside than Higbee or Cook? Or
it's going to come down to the draft and who I have and all that, but I don't know.
It depends how many beers you have in you.
Ballsy
you're
feeling. Yeah.
And the thing about Gronkowski is, like Matt or Scott, one of you were saying, get him while he's healthy. We know he's healthy for week 1, and we'll see from then on. So if you do draft him, you can just, I mean, he's going to be a star that burns out bright and fast because his injuries are unbelievable. But I think he's such a red zone threat and has such a connection with Tom Brady. It makes me nervous about Mike Evans a little bit. Like, Godwin's got his place. Gronk has his place. And part of the big thing about Mike Evans, yes, he's a big perimeter guy that can stretch the field and stuff, but he was a red zone threat. But I think Tom is going to look for Rob Gronkowski first every single time they're in the within the 10-yard line. And that's what concerns me about Mike Evans a little bit, is that his touchdowns are going to regress.
Agreed. And if there's not the reviewable pass interference this year with the offensive PI, which is the one that sometimes got overturned last year, mm-hmm. Gronk can still get away with his push-offs. He sat out the perfect year in the NFL.
He had the, he's got the indestructible metal elbow, too. Do you remember that thing? He
just I'm sure he'll have that back.
Oh, anyway, that's what we got for the Bucks. You guys don't have anything else to talk about Tampa Bay before we move on? All right, Carolina Panthers. They went 5-11 last year, finished last in the NFC South. They added Robbie Anderson as a wide receiver from the Jets. Ooh. And they added Teddy Bridgewater as quarterback. Oh, no. Key departures, Cam Newton left. Greg Olsen left. He's in Seattle now, which is going to be weird to see. And I also threw in there Luke Kuechly, because that was a shocker in the offseason on defense. Let's talk about Teddy Bridges. Teddy Bridgewater, he's going ADP whatever the hell you want. But let's go over his past, because he had a very complicated past. So he was the quarterback that had that god-awful, horrific knee injury in 2016, to where after in preseason. Or not preseasons, in a training camp, I think.
Yeah.
And they were saying, okay, how long is he going to be out? And they were measuring it in seasons.
They said he would have died if there weren't, like, the appropriate medical staff, like, right near him on the field. It was some crazy injury.
Yeah, 1.5 to 2 seasons was the estimate, or dying. He missed
a pretty wide range.
1.5 seasons or you die the next couple hours. He came back for a game in 2017, but essentially he missed 2016 and 2017. But last year in New Orleans, he had 6 starts while Drew Brees was hurt. And he did, he went 5-1. Is that right? I think he went 5-1.
I believe so.
And he did okay. He did okay. 1,300 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, and only 2 interceptions. So he protected the ball. He played it safe. But now he's in Carolina. And new system, new head coach.
What an offensive coordinator that he is familiar with his system. And I do think it was impressive what he was able to do in New Orleans, get thrown into that system. And everybody was super down because Brees was out. They were supposed to be really good that year, get over the whole Rams issue the year before in the playoffs, and Bridgewater has to come in. People were even calling for Taysom Hill to be the starter instead, so there was muddy waters there, and he came in and really performed. He was a game manager. He can't run as much as he used to, obviously, because of the knee thing, but right. I think he looked good in the pocket. Like, I watched a lot of those games. They had a lot of primetime games, and I was impressed. I think he showed that he can still be a starter in the NFL. What concerns me here is that Carolina didn't add any pieces around him in the draft. I feel like you need to do that when you're bringing in a different quarterback into your system. Give him something to make him feel like you're working to mold around him. And they didn't. It just seems like they're trying to build their defense and let Bridgewater gap a year. And what really confused me about that is they have McCaffrey, the best running back in the NFL right now, and they're not trying to make their offense lights out. I don't understand it. So I still like Bridgewater. I just wish they did more for him.
Yeah, he might be a good fantasy, like you said, Matt, the dual threat type of thing, where if you got him as your second quarterback and then all of a sudden all his abilities show again and he's healthy and, you know, fully capable, he could end up being a stud and you could get a steal with it. But I'm not the type of person that would risk taking him as my number one guy in fantasy.
He's got a bit of upside, but I don't see him ever running like he did back in Minnesota.
I'm not going anywhere near that, boys. Nowhere near that. There's just no receiving pieces. There's just not enough receiving pieces around him. It's just the Christian McCaffrey show right now. Christian McCaffrey is the Mike Trout of football.
There you go.
And
there you go.
Yeah, I see nothing positive about Bridgewater's situation.
You guys think there's any controversy there right now? Because they added the stud Houston Roughnecks quarterback from the XFL, PJ Walker.
Oh, I thought you were serious for a second. Are you?
We'll see.
No, I'm
talk about bold predictions, Dan.
Oh, if you want to go for that one. What is his name? PJ
Walker.
PJ Walker will be the starter by the end of the year. You heard it first here. Matt said so. But no, Hot Zone, you mentioned Christian McCaffrey. Let's move on to Christian McCaffrey. He had a year last year.
Yeah, he was high.
He's aight. His average draft position is 101. he's going first overall in most leagues. 287 carries, 1,300 yards, and 15 touchdowns. But the big story was he had over 100 catches and over 1,000 yards on 141 targets as a running back. He outscored the second running back by 156 points in fantasy in PPR leagues last year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He is going to get used heavy. Biggest question mark, I think, is his longevity, how long he can stay healthy. He's surprised everybody in the past and been really resilient. Other than that, I'm concerned about their number of opportunities they're going to have to score this year, how many red zone opportunities they have. Often he's finding the end zone, but he could easily prove me wrong there. He's a stud.
He proved he can do it with nothing else really around, so there's no reason to believe he won't do it again as long as they're not holding back on his touches, trying to reserve how much he gets beat up.
Dude led the league in touches, led him in yards from scrimmage. I mean, he had an unreal year last year, and he's only 24. He just turned 24. He actually shares a birthday with me.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday, Hot Tone.
Oh, thanks, guys.
What'd you do?
What did I do?
Yeah. Where'd you go?
I went here, home, and hung out with my kiddos and
recorded the Upper Decker podcast.
Yeah, I'm old, dude. 32, the other, man.
Yeah. The other good thing about Christian McCaffrey is that they haven't added any pieces really to compete with him, in my opinion. So not only am I certain he's going to get a bulk load of the touches, they haven't really done anything to make it seem otherwise.
Here, you guys want to hear my favorite stat from last year by Christian McCaffrey?
Do I?
I know you do. He had zero lost fumbles. That was my favorite thing, because he had over 400 touches on the ball that didn't lose a single fumble.
Wow.
That counts in fantasy, okay? But let's move on to wide receivers. DJ Moore is the number one on their depth chart. Wide receiver 15 off the board. Last year, he had a good year. 87 catches, 1,100 yards, 4 touchdowns on 135 targets. He's going around the 4th round. What do you guys think about DJ Moore?
What I like about DJ Moore is you're getting an obvious number one on a team a little bit later in the draft. I think he still has a little bit of something to prove. And obviously, it's a new quarterback. They haven't added much on offense. Christian McCaffrey's a stud. He's not the most exciting wide receiver out there, but you're getting him at a good spot in the draft.
Yeah, I really like him if I've already got a different wide receiver and he's my number two on my fantasy team. Because, I mean, he was averaging, I think, 12.5 points a game-ish with half PPR. And if you've already got a stud wide receiver in the first 3 rounds and then he's your second receiver, I think he's got a lot of upside, and that's going to really solidify your receiving core on your fantasy team.
So this is what I'm thinking, and you're going to hear me say DJ Moore's name a lot and read it a lot, because I'm about to do a Danny's Hot Guys article and talk to you guys about my absolute favorite players, and DJ Moore is going to be at the top of that list, I think. I think I have him at wide receiver 7 or 8, maybe, in my rankings. He is a number one for me. If I can get DJ Moore, I think he is ascending, and last year I know it was a completely different system. I know Christian McCaffrey is the guy. I know it's a different quarterback, but he is the best receiver on this team by far. I think he's going to get peppered with targets, because I think Christian McCaffrey's numbers are going to come down. They have to come down. The targets have to come down. The touches have to come down. And I think a lot of that's going to get cycled to DJ Moore, because he's the only receiver that can do it. The other receivers on this team, CJ Samuel? Curtis Samuel.
Curtis Samuel and Robbie Anderson, they do the same thing. They go for bombs. Goodbye. We're going to toss bombs down here. DJ Moore is big, and I think that he is going to be an absolute star this year, and I love him.
Yeah, looking at his stats, it is surprising to me. He seemed like he flew under the radar last year, but he had 87 receptions, 1,175 yards. That's productive, but he was pretty shy on his TDs with only 4, and that's the same concern I had with Christian McCaffrey. I don't know how productive this offense is going to be. I don't know how many red zone opportunities he's going to have. He's definitely going to be the receiver in the red zone, but how often are they going to be there?
What do you guys think about Robbie Anderson or Curtis Samuel? Do you guys want either one of those guys? I mean, Robbie Anderson for the Jets. Oh my goodness.
Are we good?
That's supposed to be a fart noise.
It has been years since I tried to do a fart noise like that, and I was trying to do it.
We're keeping it.
I lost it. I lost the fart noise ability.
Yeah, I thought you were blowing up a balloon.
So, Robbie Anderson and Curtis Samuel, do you guys want either one of those guys at the end of drafts?
I would take a flyer on Samuel at the end of a draft.
I think you're
probably going to drop him anyway, but you might hit some gold. You never know for a couple games.
Hot Tone, what are you doing?
I don't know, man. Anderson caught 54% of his attempts last year, so I'm not going anywhere near that.
I mean, because he's the game plan is Anderson, you just keep running.
Right. But it I don't know. It seems like it doesn't like pan out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, no. DJ Moore's the only wide receiver I'm taking from the Panthers. So.
Robbie Anderson, when he hits, he'll be on my bench, and he'll goose when he's in my lineup. So I just don't feel good about it. I mean, if he can get consistent, then I'll think about him on the waiver wire if he's there. But bleh.
Samuel seemed consistent for stretches last year, and I think I had him on a couple teams and started him with some success, but I don't like Anderson much in fantasy.
Ian Thomas is the tight end for this team. Is he anything of note to you guys? Or do you guys?
No, I heard his name when I looked it up. So
right.
Yeah, let's move on.
Who is this guy? Yeah. So let's talk about predictions. Predictions time. Standings this time. What do you guys think? Who is going to win the NFC South, and with what record?
Oh, they're going to keep marching in.
Ooh!
Saints at 12-4.
Yeah, I also have Saints. I got them at 11-5, but definitely think they still have the reins on this division.
I've got Saints at 12-4. Hot Zone?
Saints at 12-4.
Oh, we're so cute.
Matt, you're such a loser.
You hate to say. All right, who do you
think? I think that
have?
One
he always does
loss
that.
was probably because they always drop one to the Falcons when I think they shouldn't each year, so I had to mark down one more loss.
He always undercuts us like that.
Oh my god. Who you guys got second?
At the Bucks. I got them at 10-6. I got them making a wild card.
I am exactly the same, Scott. I got Bucks at 10-6.
I got Bucks 9-7.
I've got the Falcons at 9-7. So you guys want to make a bet on this? Falcons finish better than the Bucks?
No, I don't.
All right.
That's okay. How confident okay. I am in my picks,
that's
man.
That's good. That's good.
I will not make that bet because I also have the Falcons ending 9-7.
I've got the Bucks. I've got the Bucks finishing 9-7, but behind the Falcons.
Wow.
I've got Atlanta at 8-8.
I got Atlanta at 7-9.
So I think what we all have determined here is it's going to be a pretty tight division between the Saints, Bucks, and the Falcons. But that kind of leaves Carolina at the bottom for most of us, right?
Yeah, I've got them at 5-11.
Yeah, 5-11 for me.
5-11 here.
Ooh. It's not about I actually think that they've got a promising future because I think Teddy Bridgewater can do it. I just am nervous about this first year. And I think that I really like the other three teams. They just have a tough, tough, tough division to get past. And I think this year is just not in the cards. I think 5-11 is pretty generous considering they're going to play 6 of those games against those other three teams.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dan. What do you got them at, Matt?
I have 6-10, actually. I have a little more faith in you boys.
Yeah. Yeah, so we all got
McCaffrey single-handedly is going to get him at least 4 wins, so Bridgie's only got to get him 2, right?
Gosh. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that's what you got, is the Saints winning the division and maybe a wild card here with just the Bucks. Is that the only one that's being predicted as a wild card? Because I'm the only one that's got the Falcons as the number two in that league, in that division, right? Okay. Well, let's move on to a game. You guys want to play games?
Yes.
Love sure. Games.
Want to play games? So let's do chump or champ. We're going to talk about four players in this division, one per team, one per position. And you guys tell me whether or not you think they're going to be a chump this year or they're going to be a champ this year. And I feel like it's pretty self-explanatory what that means. But you don't get to talk that much, that long about it. So give me a sentence, max, and then we'll move forward. But we're going to start with Todd Gurley, running back out of Atlanta. Chump or champ? Matt.
At chump. Don't like the injury history. Don't think he can do it this year.
Scott.
I got him as a champ. I think he's just going to work well in that system.
Hot zone.
Champ. Touchdown machine.
I'm back and forth. I know I'm giving two sentences, but I'm going to go chump because I don't – the injury is just I can't sign on arthritis in the knee. Teddy Bridgewater. We talked just now about Teddy Bridgewater, but what do you got, Matt?
I'm as a champ. I like him this year. I like what he did in New Orleans last year. Let's see what he can do in Carolina.
Scott?
I got him as a chump. I don't think there's enough around him for year one to be a fantasy star.
Do I even need to say hot tone? Because I think I remember you saying very, very, very vocally, no.
Not going near him.
Yeah, no, that might have been what I said. Yeah, chump for sure.
I got him as a chump too. And it's not that I don't think that he's going to be a bad player. I just don't think for fantasy it's going to be anything relevant. Emmanuel Sanders, wide receiver from the Saints. Matt, chump or champ?
A chump. He's old. His Achilles injuries. I don't want to touch it.
He old. He old busted. Scott?
I got him as a champ for what he does in that system. I think if you play him on the right week, you're golden.
Anthony?
I'm going champ. I think he's got a good QB throwing to him, and it's a good system.
I got champ as well, just because Drew Brees, Saints, Indy's the number two wide receiver. Tight end, Rob Gronkowski of the Bucks. Chump or champ, Matthew?
I'm going to contradict what I said earlier, but I still have him as a chump. I think there's just too many unknowns there. There's other tight ends. It's a new system for him and Brady. I got him as a chump. I don't want to touch him.
Scott?
I got him as a champ. I'm seeing him out there at least 12 to 13 games, and at that rate, good to go.
Whoa, with a bionic elbow. Hot tone.
That's right.
I got to go chump, man. I love the dude, but I just don't feel like he's going to be on the field.
And I'm going to go champ just because I think he's going to be great, at least at the beginning of the season. And just it's all about injuries. The same thing as Gurley, but I'll go with champ. And there you have it, chump or champ. That's the first round ever of chump or champ, and we'll be doing that more often moving forward. Let's get into the final stat prediction, and then we'll give our preview of next week. What do you guys say about that?
Sounds good.
So what we did last week and we're going to continue doing is a final stat prediction that we're going to track. Every week we're going to toss out a statistic, and we're going to see who wins in the end. But this week, the NFC South version, how many touchdowns will Tom Brady throw in this season? How many touchdowns will Tom Brady throw this season? We're going to start with Matt, because I always start with Matt. He's my brother-in-law, so I got to. Matt, how many touchdowns is Tom Brady going to throw?
I got him sitting at 29. I think that's a little bit more than he hit the last couple seasons in New England. He definitely has wide receiver targets or weapons this year. He has Gronk coming back. It might even be more than 29, but I think 29 is a good number for him.
Okay, 29 is the number to beat. Scott, what do you have?
Oh, well, I have it at 30.
Oh, my goodness.
For a few seconds, I was like 34. I'm like, okay.
39.
Let's just take it back a step. And I was like, you know what? 30 sounds good. Like we talked about earlier, he's got better weapons. I think he's still capable. He's not going to be throwing the big bombs like he did earlier in his career to Moss. But I don't know. There's a lot of weapons there. I I see. And they don't have that star running back, so I feel like there's going to be a lot of little short passes to Gronk and Evans for touchdowns.
Anthony, hot tone, what do you got? Touchdowns for Tom Brady.
And I went low. 26.
Ooh.
Still more 26. Than he had last year, I believe. But
oh, wow.
It is more than he had last year, but I don't know, man. 43 years old. It's just there's too many variables this year, I feel like. So,
oh my God, that means that me, the guy who just bashed the Buccaneers and Tom Brady, I've got the most. I got 32, and I think 32 because I thought if he plays 16 games, that's two a game. I mean, two a game with Godwin, Gronk, Evans, and you know what? I felt like two a game was probably doable, but.
Looks and like you're the only one who doesn't have them making the playoffs.
Right. So something's got to give when it comes to that. But well, that's the NFC South. Anything you guys want to add about the? I mean, this is going to be a fun division. I mean, these matchups are going to be great all year, I feel like.
Yeah, I was looking at the division doing a little bit of research, and I just was really excited about the prospects of a lot of these teams. It's going to be fun to watch.
It's just always exciting when there's three capable teams. I mean, the Bucks making all the acquisitions they did, putting them right into relevance. I think it's just going to be fun all season long.
Well, you have three elite quarterbacks, and the team that doesn't really have an elite quarterback has the best running back in football. So well, be excited about everywhere.
Let's end with this. Those three, because they were going, I think, 8, 9, and 10. Breeze, Ryan, and Brady. If you had to pick one, you have to pick one of those three for fantasy this year. Which one you got?
Breeze.
That Breeze.
Breeze.
It's going to be impressive.
Yeah, it's. I think it's Breeze also. I mean, for a second, I thought maybe Ryan, but Breeze, but not Tommy Beanstalk. Anyway, thanks, guys, for sticking around this long. We're at the end of episode 3. It's completed. Just remember, you can find our rankings, our articles. You can submit questions and comments to us by going to www.chumpstochampspodcast.com. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Please keep liking and sharing our material because we really, really, truly appreciate it. And thank you for sticking around again. Next week, we got the AFC East. So the Patriots, Bills, Jets, and Dolphins are on the docket. We're going to be breaking all that down for you. But that's all we got. Thanks for sticking around. We'll see you next week, everyone.
Thanks, Chance.